Hi, everybody. Nice to be with you again. This is Richard Sachs. This is Lost Arts Radio Live, and it's a quick little hour show that we have related to current events on our planet and in the country where we're sitting, which is the U.S., but we've got some of you in all different parts of the world, and it's relevant to everybody what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to just get right to it. I don't have any guests today. We do have great people joining us occasionally, and just talking to Richard Mack this morning. He'll be back soon, and various doctors that have insights into what's going on in the world. But some of the things I wanted to go over just to make sure that they're clear and that we can talk about them and they make sense and how they all fit together. And if we have time, I'll get into some personal aspects too that I think are very relevant to what we're talking about. You know, I don't have... Doug and I don't have a staff and a crew pulling up all the documents for what we're talking about, which certain people doing incredibly good broadcasts do have. People that I can't mention unless we want to disappear from the internet right away. So you probably know who I'm talking about. We've got a lot of theirs and other documents on our website every day, lostartsradio.com. And as time permits, we've been... putting up news in the form of videos and articles every day, and more than anybody really has time to keep up with unless that's all you do. So we're trying to cram a lot into a limited number of hours every day. But today I want to stop worrying about whether the show is exactly an hour or not. Sometimes I run over a little bit, but it can also be shorter. The point is I just want to communicate some important things to you, and then you can give me your feedback by going to lostartsradio.com, and there's contact form there, or email richard@lostartsradio.com, or go to the Facebook group and for Lost Arts Radio and interact there. A lot of different ways to do it, and I read and look at all of the comments and input from all of you, because I really value that. And the show is for you, really. I mean, you personally. That's why we're spending the time to do all this and get ready for it all week. And I just want to, as I said, share some things about the current situation. It kind of reminds me, stepping back and looking at the planetary-wide situation, it reminds me of reading Superman comics when I was 8 years old, and, you know, when they were new and they were just coming out. And I don't know if you remember or you know, but Superman's parents were on this planet called Krypton, way out in the deep space somewhere, like we are, actually, just a different part of it. And they were saying, well, there's a chain reaction starting on our planet, and they had the technology to send their baby, who turned out to be Superman later, Kal-El, I think might have been his name, but anyway, send him to another planet, any other planet, before theirs blew up. And kind of reminds me of what's happening here, but I'm not convinced that it's inevitable yet. I think it could still be reversed even this late in the game. And the reason I think that is because there are tools in our arsenal that we're not even aware of. And so it's really a consciousness test. Are we going to become aware of it in time? And the top level rulers who are working on systematic destruction of life on this planet, which is what they're doing, just in case you didn't notice, you know, I want to mention that. They know that their top priority of all the things that they want to hide from us is who we are, which is beyond most of our imagination. It's kind of hinted at by major religions, but it remains in the belief area, not in the experience area. And what I see is that it's possible to experience it while we're still here. You don't have to wait to do what they call dying, you know, when you leave and you're done with the body. I don't think you have to wait for that. I think there's things we can do here that we're not supposed to know about, much less find out how to do. So I've got way too much to go through in the hour, but it's all put together to be leading to certain points about the bottom line understanding of the situation we're in and what our options are for turning it around before it's all over in this chapter. A lot of times looking around, I feel like some kind of a visiting space alien, I guess, and looking at the unbelievable stuff that people are doing, and both the perpetrators, you know, working on this plan to systematically eliminate life on the planet, and they're already well into it, not just humans, eliminating all species. And some of the people that talk to me that say they're conservative and think that all the environmental concerns are fraud, they're holding on to what they think a conservative should think, just like the other people are holding on to what they think a so-called liberal would think, when really they both forget we're all on the same team. We're human beings trying to survive and do well, thrive and prosper in an environment that's, to our basic nature, is very foreign. It's got all this stuff in it called physical matter, you know, that's not like where we came from. And we're living in these self-aware, conscious costumes. They're physical bodies, you know, what most people think they are. You're just in it for a little while, and there's ways you can use it, and its potential is pretty much unknown. So it's like right out of some scene like The Emperor's New Clothes, where all the villagers were watching the emperor go by naked, and they were all told that he's in these fantastic, magical, you know, beautiful elite costume, and he's actually naked, and he can't admit it either, because the story is anybody that admits it, they must be very low intelligence, low consciousness. So they all say, wow, an incredible royal costume the king is wearing, or the emperor. And this 3 or 4 year old kid in the audience watching the parade go by with the king at the front, or the emperor at the front, says, he's naked, and starts laughing. And after that, everybody else starts laughing, because it's okay to admit the truth. And we're in a similar situation. Everybody's saying, oh, there's this, I mean, they're saying so many things. We'll get to that in a minute. This situation's been building up gradually for a really long time. So many different attacks on humanity, and they're all gradually increasing at the same time. And if you think in those terms, attacks against humanity worldwide, you know, what they used to call mankind before they thought that was sexist. There's a lot of them. How many of them can you see? If you got asked on a game show right now, name the attacks against humanity worldwide, you should be able to see quite a few of them that are still going on. And to understand the mentality, why everybody's saying the emperor's got beautiful clothes on, think back to the Kennedy assassination, and we're supposed to believe, just like the emperor's beautiful clothes, that it was some lone, crazy gunman. No reasons for the murder, no connections to anybody, no collusion, certainly no conspiracy. I mean, only bank robbers have conspiracies, right? And so they needed to have some psychological operation, some psyop, so that people would think that he was the only person involved, that Lee Harvey Oswald is the guy. And just so that nobody could ever check it out in detail, he was killed quickly after the assassination was over. And some people started talking about the evidence that there were multiple shooters in the Kennedy assassination. And it was really very clear, just like the emperor being naked, that there were bullets from at least two directions, once it hit him, actually. And that had to be discredited by the people who were involved, because actually no one was supposed to know it. And at that time, a lot less people suspected than they do now. But it was a huge project to kill Kennedy. Some movies and things have been made about it, some of which are partly accurate. And high-level people were involved, very high, higher than president were involved. Why did they kill him if it wasn't just some lone, crazy gunman? Did they kill him because he knew everything and was this incredibly brilliant guy and his character was perfect and was just some Superman? And the answer to that is no. He was far away from that. He had a lot of character flaws, which all of us in general do. He had lots of misunderstandings too, and even some leanings towards socialism. He didn't understand that socialism is suicide for any country and why that's the case. And, you know, people are being educated in the universities and by the television now and all the major newspapers that socialism is really fantastic and finally free money for everything and everybody's equal. And that was never the meaning of the Constitution or Declaration of Independence. It was equal opportunity, equal respect, equal potential, you know, but everybody's clearly not identical in equal in the identical sense. And now we're trained that that's really what it was supposed to be. And under the guise of equality, they're taking away everybody's opportunity to really realize their potential. There's so much stuff going on. It wasn't Kennedy's fault that he didn't understand everything. If, in case you've noticed when you tried, it is very difficult to understand everything. You know, I mean, the days are only 24 hours long, even if you're educating yourself every minute. You run out of time and there's just this vast field of knowledge to gain, but we just do the best we can, have to do our best. So we're each responsible for our own self-education because the educational system, so-called educational system, is certainly not going to do it for anybody. That's really the indoctrination system, at least as it exists right now. So back to the Kennedy question, why was he assassinated? Anybody? It was because he really loved his country. I think he was sincere. Somebody who has faults, it doesn't mean they're not a good person. They're trying their best. And remember the glass houses and house and the throwing stones thing. Don't do that unless you've perfected yourself. And if you perfect yourself, you're not going to want to hurt anybody anyway. So it's just not going to happen. But because he loved the country and cared about serving America and clearly the rest of the world, he had to be eliminated. And very similar to the current U.S. president, who all kinds of people, including close friends of mine, family members, say, you know, Trump is the devil, or at least he's one of the devil's servants. He's really working for evil. They all know it absolutely and not open to anything that looks the otherwise. If he does anything that might be good, they say, well, that's controlled opposition. That's fake. You know, their minds are closed. So, but I'm saying from my point of view, which is also fallible, obviously, it really looks to me like that's the same reason they want the current president dead. And it's the attitude and motivation that's unacceptable to people that who are really in charge. And it's really important to understand this. They don't try to smear and demonize people because they're perfect. They do it because they're being sincere. And they're smart enough, so if their sincerity combines with awareness of problems, like if a sincere president or prime minister or person in Congress finds out, for example, about geoengineering, they're going to jump on it right away. Even if they get demonized, they're not going to care. So the propaganda people, to hide what's really going on and the fact of who's in charge and the massive collusion at the higher levels of power, which most people can't even imagine, even most of the conspiracy people. They did something really brilliant. They invented a phrase or a term to keep the projects that they did hidden. The fact that clearances go way above president and prime minister level, it's way, way higher. It's at corporate deep state levels, but deep state in a way that people generally don't understand or even imagine. So what was the term? You guys know it, right? You're all saying it. Conspiracy theory. It was very brilliant. That's a term that was invented as a psyop. And do you understand how it works? It's really brilliant. It's repeated so often on the fake news and in the newspapers and in the school system, in the universities and all that, in the fake science community, which, yeah, is 99% fake, in my opinion. Wouldn't know science if they stepped on it. I mean, they're so far from science. It's just, it would be a joke if it wasn't so serious in implications. But most people who began to find evidence of multiple shooters and support the people and the support people who helped the shooters involved in the Kennedy assassination, they started calling those people conspiracy theorists. And they just repeated it millions of times. So now if you think of conspiracy, most people immediately think theory. Okay, so that part of the PSYOP means if you think anything's a conspiracy, it's only a theory and you don't know what you're talking about. Most of the people who are addicted to the major corporate news outlets don't really understand in depth anything about this whole PSYOP process, but they did understand, most people, that you should never be seen as a conspiracy theorist because something really terrible would happen. People would make fun of you and they would think that you weren't very smart, and that was a big threat to most people. So they learned and memorized and carefully avoided all the things that would make you a conspiracy theorist, which in the beginning was strictly that only not only one person was responsible for the Kennedy murder, that there were a lot of people. Those were the conspiracy theorists, but it worked so well that they started using it for all kinds of other things that they didn't want you to know about. And the people who were afraid of being called a conspiracy theorist never imagined that the conspiracy theories, the main ones, could actually be true. So how many conspiracy theories are there now? I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of them. Any idea that you might get that people doing bad things would cooperate with each other to do the bad things more efficiently? You're a conspiracy theorist. That's ridiculous, and it could never happen. Just a few examples. What examples do you think of when you think of well-known conspiracy theories that you're supposed to think are false? One of them we already mentioned was geoengineering, and that there's this huge fleet of aircraft flying over the whole world, dumping toxic metals and other poisons, and if you know what you're talking about, actually biological weapons, cross-domain bacteria, as the researchers we've had on the Sunday show have verified, cross-domain bacteria, synthetic materials that cause Morgellons disease, and all kinds of weather-disrupting things, which it actually is man-made attempted climate change to make things horrible. It's not to cover it up, it's to create it, which they're doing a pretty good job of, and they're blocking the sun a lot. They're really blocking the sun significantly. Last I heard, it was like 23% or something like that reduction in actual sunlight reaching the earth, which sunlight, you know, is actually really important. It's not some kind of a mistake of nature or mistake of God. It's very important. Without it, there wouldn't be much life here besides rocks. And so, but anyway, this whole understanding and hundreds of websites on the internet still that haven't been wiped out that talk about the very extensive documentation of geoengineering are all considered conspiracy theories. Another one is that the Rockefeller and Carnegie Institutes came together with a plan for a medical system where they could monopolize the so-called medicines or the supply of them, and that the medicines, in quotes, would be toxic chemicals. But nobody would talk about that, that they would be called medicine, they would be called cutting-edge medical science and standard of care and things like that, but that they would be designed to make people sicker and age faster and get degenerative disease and have all kinds of horrible problems and symptoms that would be diagnosed as something that needed more toxic chemicals called medicine, and it would just go on and drugging people more and more, and then finally cutting out their organs to really make them healthy. And then eventually, when it all did its work, they would end up being drugged to death in some kind of end-of-life care. That was actually the plan for the current monopolistic allopathic medical system, but that's all a conspiracy theory too. So just to let you know, none of that is possible because nobody colludes to do anything except bank robbers, right? Another one, And there are lots of these. We won't go through the whole list. We'd be, this show would last a month or so. But working on the work of an early German chemist who just discovered that you could, instead of really taking care of the soil on a farm, you could use nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in synthetic form, and you wouldn't even have to really be a real farmer anymore, in the sense of understanding the huge universe of life in the soil and how to cooperate with it to get the best results and grow super health foods because the soil was so great. You could just put on N, P, and K, and in fact, there could be expert consultants to tell you how much of each to put on. And then when that caused such an imbalance in the soil and the nutrition of the plant, it looked like it would require synthetic poisons to kill all the insects that moved in response to the malnourished plants. And you would be told by the same experts how to flood the field with poison. And then the GMO scientists, which were mostly good people, not knowing the horrors that they were creating in the world or who they were really working for, they would create plants with special adaptation to being flooded with weed killers. So the weed killers wouldn't kill them. There's other kinds of GMOs too, but that's a real big one. And you could just flood the field with weed killers, Roundup and others, and the plants wouldn't die. They'd absorb it, of course, and you would get to eat it. And in the beginning, the GMO company said, our children can play in GMOs. I mean, not GMOs, but in Roundup and all these pesticides. It's no problem, just like they said about DDT in the 50s. I remember the commercials with the kids playing behind the spray trucks, really happy. You know, the usual bluebirds flying by and stuff like that. People believed you could play in DDT, which was really connected to the polio experience with all the people in iron lungs and stuff, which definitely connected directly to DDT, except that's a conspiracy theory too. So there's lots of examples of that. But the public has been trained by the media now. And this is not just a bunch of random facts that I'm going over or conspiracy theories. This is related to the point that I want us to make if we get time, and our time's going by fast. The public's been trained by the media that conspiracy theories are all false and crazy, except the bank robbers. And that if you believe any of them, there's something definitely wrong with you. You need professional help. So probably a lot of the people listening to this show definitely need professional help by that definition. And that if in that case you're not intelligent, you're a total fool, you're an idiot, and it's worked brilliantly because no one in general likes to be shamed like that very much. And common sense, like in The Emperor's New Clothes on the little kid who said he's naked, that's been eliminated in most people who now look to the government and big corporations to be told what's true. And speaking of common sense, Dave Hodges will be coming into the Sunday show soon. I think that's going to be great. He runs the Common Sense Show. It just came to my mind. Watch for that. The major corporation, major corporate media, the educational system in gigantic quotes because it's a brainwashing system, not educational. The government agencies, including the so-called health education system, health agencies, big tech and social media has been put in charge with their fact checkers of what's true. But if you think that they're all cooperating together, following orders from one common control system, just because all these major media are reading off the same exact script on teleprompters, then you're a conspiracy theorist and you're crazy. And you do need professional help. So I told you that looking at all that's going on, I feel like some kind of a visiting space alien from another less insane culture. And it's hard to believe that people are all terrified and dutifully going along with such obvious malicious nonsense in so many ways. But, you know, as a little kid in the early 50s, I was doing the same thing and I had no idea of any of it. So what happened to me that changed that? Because obviously I'm one of those crazy conspiracy theory people now too. And in the beginning, I mean, we had three television channels, in case some of you aren't that old. It was black and white. We all knew you could never do color television. And all the three channels said the same thing. and they really cared about you, and they would only tell you the truth, and they would never lie. And I knew that was all true. And I knew that the medical people were telling you the right way to be healthy, that all you do is take drugs. Fortunately, not very many vaccines, but they got us with a few of them back then. I was eating the same junk that everybody else is. They had chemicals in ice cream that were from used also in shoe polish. I was eating all kinds of processed chemical garbage as a young kid. And my parents didn't know any better, and they were doing their best, and great parents. And I was doing all kinds of other things that I didn't know were damaging. And by the mid-60s, because it takes some time usually for the effects to build up, by the mid-60s I was really sick, really in trouble, my physical body. And the doctors who were since, I'm going to share some personal stuff because I think it's really relevant if we get time to get to the point that I'm trying to get to, and I'm pretty determined to get through it to that so I can share it with you. So the doctors were sincerely trying to help me. They didn't know what I had, in quotes. You know, I mean, they didn't understand because they were highly trained in medical school and brainwashed. They thought diseases were all compartmentalized and they should be diagnosed so that you would know what poisonous chemical, I mean, super advanced medicine to take or what organs to cut out, so that you'd get back to your normal, wonderful health. They didn't understand that. And they were trained in medical school to look for a diagnosis so they would know what drug to give me. And when they finally got one, they were real happy. And they, oh, we know what's wrong with you now. When the doctors say that, there's a few exceptions, but most of them, they don't even have an understanding of how they would know what's wrong with you. Everything that's wrong with you is systemic. It affects your entire body. It affects your mind, your psychology, your emotional state, everything. And they think it's just compartmentalized, like, oh, there's something wrong with your eye or your liver or your skin or your hair or whatever. It's all systemic. They still don't understand that, most of them, but it's going more in that direction, that, at least in part. So they were really happy that they got a diagnosis, and they started in with the drugs and surgery, and that approach was doing the usual damage that they didn't understand. That's what it's designed to do. That kind of medicine in general. The doctors are great, but the designers of the system want it to hurt you and not kill you too fast, because for various reasons. The doctors all thought they were being really good, and by 19... you know, I was degenerating more and more in my physical health. And by 1965, I was also working in my dad's medical lab. That's where I started work that led into my being independent and as a health scientist, because I thought, wow, I'm not very old. I should, back then, learn what makes you sick and what makes you healthy. And while I'm at it, because the doctors obviously have no clue. They have all the wrong clues. They know the anatomy and physiology and how to fix you after you get, you know, some traumatic injury. And the emergency doctors, a lot of them are incredibly brilliant and talented. But as far as everyday health and what leads to disease and what makes you susceptible to a virus, for example, or a bacterial infection, you know, they're totally misunderstanding this misconception about the germ theory, which they're taught in medical school, and all the academic scientists are taught the same thing. I wanted to know what's really going on with that. So I started visiting natural health teachers and doctors and other people trying to find out. My first one in 1964, I think it was a doctor named Dr. J.C. McKimmie, M-A-C-K-I-M-M-I-E, brilliant. Amazing guy. I mean, he's got a book out called Presence of Angels. He's no longer alive in the same body, but his book is alive on Amazon. I think they don't consider it a big threat. They don't understand it. So they're selling it there. It's a good book. And I was amazed when he was teaching me these super advanced concepts, like, Richard, don't eat like refined white sugar and refined white flour. This was like a revelation to me. I was amazed after dealing with all the doctors, and it was like, you mean food has some effect on your health? 10 question marks after that, and The doctors didn't mention that. They would have for sure told me. So I started gradually experimenting, looking for the connections. Because when I was younger, I thought the major food groups were probably hamburgers, milkshakes, French fries, and ketchup. That's four major food groups. And I thought those would take care of it. And that's a lot of what I ate, except a fifth food group of Coke and Pepsi and stuff like that. So I thought when you got sick, there was no reason except some evil germ attacked you because there was a deficiency of drugs. And when you, I really didn't think exactly that, but I did believe when you took drugs and killed the evil germs, you got better. And that was health. I thought it was real science and medical science. And a lot of people believe that now. That's why I'm mentioning it. And, you know, then I started to question what was true, which is that essence of science. You question everything. You're not there to defend your point of view. You're not there to say why you're right and everybody else is wrong. You're saying, please show me. If you show me I'm wrong, that's wonderful, because then I can get closer to what's not wrong. There's no ego in it. Anything with ego and you're trying to show the other guy's an idiot in a debate so that you can look really brilliant, that has nothing to do with science. You know, science, your motivation is to find things that will help people, but you question everything, including yourself. So I started to do that. And I thought I couldn't be the only one noticing the connections that I was finding. Why weren't the doctors talking about it? And that was the beginning. And so I went through all these different approaches with food because it looked like food was a big deal that the medical system kind of forgot to mention. And they said things that were false. You know, like cholesterol was evil and high blood pressure had to, meant that you needed drugs right away, you know, obviously not caused by anything else that you could fix. So I started going through all these systems like macrobiotics in 1968, and I was visiting various health teachers. I met Ann Wigmore and Dr. Bernard Jensen, if any of you guys have heard of them, and was working with stuff with Paul Bragg and other people. In 1970, I started experimenting with vegetarianism, partly for health, but partly because I was realizing that this is not just a physical issue. Just like the problems with part of your body are always problems with your whole body in some way. And in the same way as that, I was starting to realize that problems with your physical body always had counterparts in your emotional state and your attitude toward life and your mental function and your spiritual exploration of what's true and what your beliefs were and all that. They're all connected. And I was playing around with vegetarianism in the 70s because I realized I don't actually want to hurt and kill animals. That doesn't attract me. I had pets, dogs and cats and other things, and I wouldn't hurt them on purpose. Why would I hurt some other animal and then rip it apart and eat it? You know, that there's something wrong with that picture, even though a lot of people who I agree with on most of what they do and say think they're just really tough and really, you know, wise by saying, of course you shoot animals and eat them, or let somebody else cut their throats and eat them in the out of the grocery store. I was a huge meat eater. My grandmother told me I had to eat a lot of meat to be strong. And I realized that eventually, because I was into questioning everything I learned about science, I was 5 years into my work as a health scientist at that point, and I realized that as much as I loved eating meat, humans weren't really designed to eat it. The gut's too long, the digestive fluid's too weak, it doesn't even digest bones. The teeth are all wrong, but mostly the main thing is not physical. It's that although those physical points are important, and the other thing is that any real carnivore always eats the food raw, and that's not because they can't afford to buy a stove. It's because it's really designed that way. And if you start feeding animals all cooked food, which I looked at experiments with that, they get human diseases. This is really an important big deal. And if it's not just cooked, but it's highly processed, like the processed dog foods and things like that, it keeps the vets very well full of business. But mostly the reason that I found out that humans weren't designed, if they want to reach their potential, to be eating animals, is that to do it, you have since the whole game is to become conscious, aware, the difference between awareness and consciousness being awareness of outside things going on is strategically important. But self-awareness is what unlocks your potential. And I call that consciousness. And if you want to do that, one part of your consciousness is empathy for other people and other beings and animals and everybody. And in order to eat meat, you must turn that off. Because if you really feel empathy for the animal that you're killing and eating or somebody else is for you, and you're realizing it's no different than your pet dog, you can't eat it. So you have to turn off empathy and become less conscious. And it's not that I don't like people who eat meat. There's nothing like that going on. This is just observation, you know, and it's useful. 1975, I came across the Essene Gospel of Peace, Volume 1, and recognized its authenticity, matched some old memories that I have, which we don't have time to go into right now. But I spent decades after that, and still I'm continuing that, even now as an old person, continuing to every day do a lot of experimental research and find out what do we need to reach our potential. And my motive for doing that and living that now as much as I can is, A, I would rather feel great and have high energy and not be subject to the usual aging and degeneration and worry about infectious diseases or any of that junk. I'd rather not deal with that at all. And because you can do more on whatever you want to get accomplished in your day if you're not busy being sick or run down or falling apart or worried about catching a disease or something. So that was one reason. The other one is that I'm looking at the world situation, and it's not a strategy. No strategy, I don't think, will work without conscious population. The U.S. founder said the same thing. They called it educated, but I'm not using that term because I don't want to refer to the indoctrination system that's brainwashing the kids. Conscious population is the only possibility for turning around the intentional destruction of humanity right now and life on the planet. And I don't think it takes a majority of us. If you're brave enough to actually learn to work on that yourself, then you can have a massive impact. And it took me into some incredible explorations, not just of natural health protocols and laws of nature that they were teaching thousands of years ago, like in the book that I mentioned, and before, way before that, because it doesn't come from a book, you guys. Books are acknowledging some of the things, but the realities don't require books. They just get written about in books, hopefully. But also, I got into consciousness, what it is, you know, big question, not just some new age imaginary thing, but really, what is it? You know, because it's the essence that we actually are, the one that's wearing the physical body that's functioning through the mind, but you're not the mind, you're something else, and it doesn't have form. And I wanted to know, what is that? How do you become aware of it? How do you use it? I went through experimental stages of being a vegan, raw vegan. I even experimented with eating just fruit for a while. That didn't work at all. And the raw vegan had a lot of big advantages with energy and not getting sick and stuff like that. But I ended up emaciated and not feeling very solid, emotionally too fragile on all dimensions. And like most raw vegans, I was trying to fix it, fill in the gaps with supplements, with all these scientific arguments of why you have to take B12 and all this different stuff. I was trying to do that, and I had to admit to myself that even with all the supplements, something was really missing. And I eventually realized that although raw vegan diets and fruit diets seem like the simplest and really serene way in nature to eat, some ways seeming to be ideal, I needed something that I was missing on the physical level. And I ended up feeling that it was probably cholesterol. Da-da-da, you know, that's the horrible monster demon that has destroyed the world and given everybody heart disease. And I found out that's a great thing to know about, except for the fact that it's totally not true. And I proved that by a lot of experimentation and working with other people. The raw vegans I knew would probably excommunicate me, and most of them did, because what I did was blasphemy against the raw vegan religion. This is leading up to something. I hope you're not bored and you know, just put off by it, because it, seeing the connections of everything is really important. Otherwise, it's going to seem hopeless to change what's going on in the world. So they, you know, I didn't want to kill animals. I told you that, but I needed cholesterol. I didn't want to eat cooked food. I had already given up cooked food for years, but I needed cholesterol. That's what I felt, at least. And I, the blasphemy that I decided to try was eating organic raw milk from animals that were treated like pets, who obviously were not having a bad time at all, and certainly didn't mind sharing the milk with the humans because of how they were treated. I read the China study that tells how that terrible milk is, you know, and I found out in my observation that it's deeply flawed. It didn't distinguish between organic and raw organic milk from animals treated correctly as pets from pasteurized milk from abused animals fed poison, and that disqualified it completely, in my opinion, and still does. I already had been told that I was lactose intolerant. I had all the symptoms. I guess you guys know what that is. And my theory was that the organic raw milk had the enzymes in it to break down the lactose, and it would take a while to normalize that in the gut. I'm talking a little fast because I have a lot I want to tell you. And I was willing to deal with congestion and anything else for a while to see if that theory was right, and it worked. It took 2 or 3 months, and then the lactose intolerance and headaches and congestion and sore throat and all this junk I was getting once I was eating the raw milk, it went away. And it was gone permanently. And I got back 30 pounds of muscle mass, all my body heat, energy. I wasn't getting colds or anything else the vegans say that you'll get. I wasn't getting sick at all. I had lots of energy, strong and functional again. So it helped me stay on 100% live raw food ever since for a long time. And I'm still continuing the experiment to find out as much as I can and take it farther. And the reason is I want to know what's your true normal state, how are you supposed to feel, energy level, you know, clarity of mind, all this stuff that most people would like. All of us are just trying to feel good in some way or other. I mean, good guys, bad guys, everybody is trying to feel good. They just have different ideas of how to achieve that. I want us to feel good and avoid the hell of all the people lying in hospitals feeling so helpless and diagnosed with these terrible diseases and dying from the disease and from the treatment, sometimes more from the treatment. And so I wanted to find out our real state, see what we're supposed to feel like every day, not with momentary highs and having to do it with sugar or drugs or, you know, things that give you a kick and then let you down. I didn't want any more of that, although it took years to just totally drop all that stuff. I thought that if some of us can find out and get back our real normal state, then we have a better chance to turn things around in the world. And I found out that's really true. And I was kind of curious how much of aging is really necessary and unavoidable and irreversible. And I found out not very much of it is. So can any or all of these conditions and the susceptibility to infectious disease and stuff, can that be eliminated? And I found out pretty much it can. You know, there's probably some really advanced bioweapon worse than the one that they let out so far that could knock down everybody. I think there probably are. But most of them don't touch you when you get closer to the normal state of your body. And I found out a lot about that over decades of experiment. And it made me aware that a lot of other vital information, just like the real health information, is totally hidden from us. This is connected to the idea of the conspiracy stuff and a lot of what the doctors learn in medical school, and they are good, most of them are great people and many of them are friends of mine, and a lot of what they learn about health is completely false, or they don't learn about certain things at all. Same thing with other kinds of high-level experts. And like we said, real science questions everything. It doesn't stick to one position on anything. But it's always checking to see if it's right and how it can be corrected. No ego, just the search for whatever's true. So the question is, what else is hidden? What else that we're being told is true is not, or vice versa? And what I found out was massive, and lies were permeating almost every area of our knowledge without exception. I'm going to have to go really fast and skip over some things. So those who start to discover the real pieces of the puzzle they're called conspiracy theorists because everything is so tied together. Even most of the conspiracy theorists don't imagine the degree of collusion and how high up it goes. The people we think are in charge, the presidents and the prime ministers and stuff, look at Stephen Greer's work if you want to know some of the detail of that. Those guys aren't even near the top of the pyramid of power. I learned that the real health information was suppressed by violence. Hundreds of doctors have been killed for trying to talk about a fraction of what we're alluding to here. We know many of them directly. I started investigating more seriously how all this could be applied to world events. Why does it seem like things are going downhill in world events? And, you know, they tell us that it's our fault. You know, you used an air conditioner or you're destroying the world, or you're a racist, or you're not in favor of justice, or what? No, that's all, you know, brainwash stuff. None of us are really a race. We're individuals. We're total individuals. We're spirit. We're using a costume for a short time. And this is not us. If we're using a costume with one color skin or another, that doesn't change who you are. It changes your experience, and that's it. So you need to respect everybody. If we're complete fools and idiots, we're racists. But, I mean, it's so obviously dumb. Nobody with any consciousness at all falls for that. And we're told that it's everywhere and it's a big threat. And we have to, you know, probably burn down the cities to stop it and make everything great again. It's completely ridiculous and nobody should be falling for that junk. That part of the investigation of really how these things that I had learned in health science fit into world events, that started about 20 years ago. And I dug into how the global rulers are controlling things from behind the scenes and how they operate and how they're organizing their agendas. And I looked at their goals and at the top levels and the reasons why they're doing it and where they're going with it, what they plan for us in the years that are coming immediately ahead. And I found out, what I found out made me feel even more like some alien visitor. Like, what? They're doing that? It's not about money. They use money to motivate their lower level rulers. And at the top levels, it's not about money. I mean, the top human levels, because there are levels above that we don't have time to go into that are not human. And I know that by direct encounter in some cases. At the top human levels, it's about causing death and pain and destruction for its own sake, leading to extermination of all life, and not just population reduction, but total extermination, including the perpetrators. This is a suicide mission. And I don't think many people grasp that, but we need to. It's moving according to the doctrine of sacrifice, which could be many shows in itself. And they have the technology to kill us immediately, right now, overnight. Life on this planet could be wiped out by tomorrow with the technology they have, but they're not doing that. It's a step-by-step process that they're doing methodically, poisoning the entire biosphere, the whole life support system. They're not leaving anything to support them because they plan to be gone as well. Their version of a spiritual reward for doing the sacrifice step by step correctly with the right notices and milestones reached and all that is their spiritual reward is going to bring them in contact with the dark power that they're worshiping. And this is exactly accurate at the top upper levels of humans. And that's what they're doing it for. It's not money, because if you kill everybody, you can't have a business here. Okay, it's not that complex. So how does that fit into the larger plan? They intend to accomplish a lot of things at once on this level. And most of the people working for them think that they're going to be left in the remnant, the elite remnant that's going to have the world as their playground. They're not. You guys, if you're thinking that, you're not. but what they intend to do is a lot more than we have time to discuss here. But with the fake pandemic and the paid riots and all this, they're working for the destruction of society and families. Obviously, the destruction of all small business, the destruction of the economy, the elimination of cash, the elimination of trust between people, crashing the birth rate of civilized societies, total 24/7 monitoring of behavior and speech, supposedly for the greater good, universal, toxic, extremely damaging DNA-altering drugs and vaccines, genetically engineering the people, not just the corn, which they've ruined in the U.S. now and most of the world, and other crops like that. They want GMO humans. The vaccine is going to accomplish that. It's already been shown. It goes into your cells, changes the DNA permanently so you cannot recover from that, and you transmit it to your kids. You decide if that's a good idea. They think it's cutting-edge science, the ones who are really out of touch with reality. Elimination of all sovereign countries, universal basic income, which is the worst thing you can imagine economically. And all these kids that have been taught that it's wonderful. It's not wonderful, you guys. It's universal basic conditional income, which means that anything that you think, say, or do is subject to review. And any transaction that you want to do, since they want to get rid of cash, will be monitored. And anything that they don't think that you should buy or sell, that'll be blocked. Agenda 21, communism, basically everybody packed into dense human settlements to save the earth, everyone intensely radiated with 5G around the clock, everybody drugged, vaccinated, and sick, so that it eliminates dissent because you're not going to feel good enough to question anything. All children wards of the state, CPS is the prototype of this, and re-education, as per in the Cultural Revolution that some other countries like China have already demonstrated successfully. Obviously, no personal arms can be had, no self-defense, and that we're seeing the beginnings of that now, where people trying to defend themselves are called murderers and put in prison, even without firearms. Any means of defending yourself we're being told that's a crime. Total slavery, followed by extermination, and the masking is an experiment right now to see if we'll put up with completely ridiculous orders and just do whatever we're told out of fear. And we posted the Russell Blaylock articles and Dr. Labo and Dr. Medage and Dr. Kaufman and other people like that, explaining in great documented detail that the mask is like stopping mosquitoes with a chain link fence. It's not a brilliant plan, but it is a brilliant plan for what the real purpose is. Cutting down your oxygen so that your brain suffers, your immune system is hurt. People don't trust each other. They're afraid of people not wearing a mask, with this little brilliant slogan they came up with: my mask protects you, your mask protects me. That's complete garbage. They're training to follow absurd orders and stay fearful all the time. Social distancing, same thing. Looking away from people, plexiglass, dividers, all that stuff. It's for divide and conquer. More accurately, though, divide and kill. The riots were with the lockdowns are to ensure the creation of a dark age. Feudal world government, starvation, universal 24/7 fear consciousness. That's where we are now. I'm trying to go fast because our time is limited here. Those in control intend maximum suffering, followed by complete destruction of all life. And by the way, if you'd see me looking down, I'm sorry, I don't want to forget anything, and I made some notes. I spent all day doing that and getting ready for the broadcast here, and some of it all during the week. It's not from anybody else. It's just stuff I wrote down that I don't want to forget. So what should we talk about with that in mind of where we're going, and that the rulers are taking us straight into total destruction? I think the best thing to talk about under those circumstances is solutions. And to have any kind of clarity to talk about solutions, you have to start by don't give in to the fear, and don't give in to the idea that you can do nothing, that you're just this limited, not very intelligent, helpless individual person, one out of 7 billion that hardly even matters. And besides, your existence is destroying the world, and you shouldn't have air conditioning, and you know, all this really stupid stuff that we're told every day. So obviously, I would say one element, as Gandhi demonstrated in India to get rid of the tyrants from Britain at the time, non-compliance, not violence against anybody except self-defense, which I absolutely support, but no other kind of violence, and non-compliance that doesn't hurt anybody with suicidal behaviors. Don't comply with suicidal behaviors that violate your natural rights. And if you are fuzzy on your natural rights, it's alluded to in the Declaration of Independence and other founding documents of the incredible idea of founding a country where the government only exists to protect individual rights. That is what is so great about the beginning idea of America. And people who say, well, yeah, but you never lived up to it. All these people were treated unfairly, which is true. And there was a lot of stupid racism against the Native Americans and against people with darker colored skin of all kinds of origins, Africans, South America and everything, in Mexico. That's true, but that's not the point. The point is the ideals were great. And yeah, they didn't live up to them then. They were doing atrocities against each other, not just for race, but all kinds of stupid reasons. That doesn't mean we have to do that now. You don't have to have that as your reality now. So nonviolent noncompliance with things that are suicide to follow, and working in compliance with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Everybody is encouraged to join CSPOA. Go to CSPOA.org and also Oathkeepers.org. Great organizations. They could be whole shows on themselves, and we have done some on each of those. But what will determine the efficacy of that outer work, that noncompliance, that educational work, all the positive things, is the degree of self-awareness and consciousness. And what does that even mean? Our rulers need to keep us feeling helpless and stupid and dependent and weak and confused and dependent on them for everything. And the enforcer goons, like you're seeing in the horrible police actions in Australia and New Zealand, but especially Australia right now. It's nothing in the U.S. compared to Australia. The U.K. is already really bad as well. They don't understand. That's an example of non-consciousness. Once you start opening up your self-awareness, what I'm calling consciousness, you realize that what we do to other people, we do to ourselves. So if you really want to help yourself, you help other people with everything you've got. And if you want to help other people, you develop yourself, your own consciousness, because it changes your entire life. And you realize that all humans in the world, they don't have to live in America. Everybody has the same rights. They're called natural rights, referred to in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. That doesn't give anybody any rights. They're just talking about it, acknowledging it. So all of our family of people everywhere in the world, wherever you happen to be listening right now or any other time, we all have the same rights, the same potential, the same family. The rulers are trying to fool people into saying everybody has to be equal, which means if somebody has succeeded in a business they started or something, you have to steal their money and give it to somebody who doesn't do that. That's communism, and it's a fraud. Equal opportunity, and then if you want to work and be creative, you can create things because the government doesn't steal it. That's the whole point. There are ways to get back our consciousness, which is the root and the foundation of this whole thing. It's the key to turning around things in the world. It's the reason that that's the main taboo. As much as real health information is hidden, which is really for the same reason, the real consciousness information of becoming aware of the incredible being you are, aside from the body or the brain or the mind, which are not you, they're connected to you. And then you become aware of yourself apart from them. You can use those two things with incredible power, healing power, and constructive power that the malicious rulers can never match. That's why it's the biggest secret of all of these things. It's the greatest threat to the agenda, but only the very top level controllers know about that. The others think they're after money and power and stuff like that. And the reason the top level knows that that's the biggest threat is that they're limited by a law of nature, and I am going to shut up in a minute because our time's really over. There's a law of nature that says holding on to malice against anybody and it being justified is totally irrelevant. Everybody thinks they're justified in some way. That doesn't even matter. Any malice, any bad intent you have toward anybody, even the bad rulers, which seems really justified, if you hold on to that, it keeps you restricted to the lowest levels of self-awareness and power, and we need that power for good means. They know that that binds them because they're not going to give up that malice and they won't give up their hate and their fear, and they want us to have it too. So the only way they can maintain control is to keep us holding on to malice and hate and fear too, which binds up our own consciousness and keeps us in a fog. So it's guidance for us. That means we shouldn't do that. And there are ways to stop doing it. It tells us exactly what we have to do. Become experientially aware of ourselves apart from body and mind. There are ways to do it. It's really possible. I wish I was an example of somebody who'd done it completely, obviously. Totally not like that at all. But I've done little bits of it. And it's enough to know that it's real and it's very powerful. And I urge everybody to immediately start investigating the same thing. It's actually very urgent. And that's why we created Planetary Healing Club. No guarantees of success, but it was to help share the little bits that we found out so far that actually work and build on it, because maybe you can take it way farther than I only had 50 years to work on it, and a little more than that. You can take off from there and take it way further and then help the rest of us. That's what it's for. But if you'd rather do it yourself, you can do it yourself. You have everything internally. All the great spiritual teachers have been saying it. When they call it the kingdom of heaven or ultimate self-knowledge or anything else, it's all within you. And it can be accessed. It's not just a belief. And there's some greater infinite presence with you that is there to help you. And it never leaves. It's just, are we aware of it? There are ways to get aware of it, not as a belief, but as a real ongoing everyday experience. That's the point. Do it with a friend. Do it by yourself. Find out about it. This is urgent. Or if you want to do it with us, planetaryhealingclub.com is a portal to get in there. We're going to meet in just under half an hour from now. And every Saturday it's live, interactive. We're in a private environment, so we don't get censored. We can talk about anything. And I'll share, I do consulting, of course, too, but that's limited because I don't have time for much of that. And it's expensive. And in the group, we don't have those problems. And we can just interact. I'll share with all of you stuff that I've learned that's practical for maybe an hour or so. And then we just sit around and interact and communicate. And I'm hoping, that there's a small group or maybe a big group. I'd like to have people, as many as possible, from all over the world. Until we build a physical school, which will be the next step. But for now, as many of you as can relate to this kind of stuff and are brave enough to work on yourselves and find out who's really inside, those people who are willing to take it to the next stage beyond just the physical health information, they can have a massive impact on the world, and it doesn't have to take a long time. It doesn't have to be a majority. It doesn't have to be some huge number of millions. It's the quality of attention and the focus that really makes it powerful. And that's the biggest secret in 50 years of investigation that I found that you're not supposed to know about. So I'd call that guidance from the rulers. It's like what I call the government seal of approval. Anything they want you to never find out about, that must be something really good with a lot of great potential. And in this case, it definitely is. So bottom line, if you want to help the world in a critical time, learn to take care of yourself on a much deeper level. It helps everybody else immediately. And if you want to be totally selfish in a good way and take care of yourself, be kind to everybody else, that including the so-called people that, bad people that you don't like very much. There's a secret about not hating them, and it unleashes levels of awareness in yourself that are difficult to describe, but you can experience that. So time in this chapter is running out. Don't take it for granted. Don't get so wrapped up in the daily routine that you don't realize the context. This is like critical. I don't know how much time we've got left in this stage, but it's still there. We're not out of time quite yet. There are things you can do. Learn. Put it to use. Even while you're doing your other work, your family stuff, your school, whatever you're doing, Don't hate anybody else no matter what they do. Self-defense, yeah, that's fine. But that's not going to be the ultimate answer. We have to take it further. And that starts with finding out what's internal to you. And it's something incredible. You're not going to be disappointed at all, to say the least. And we'll go further with that if you want to. So thanks for being with us. those of you who have the means and want to, please help us stay on the air. We don't have commercials. The only way we have any money coming in is if I do some private consulting. That goes to it, which I don't have much time for. Or the small dues for Planetary Healing Club, those help us continue. Or straight donations, especially if you have means to do that. You can go to Planetary Healing, not that, that's the access to the meetings, but LostArtsRadio.com, there's a donate button, and LostArtsResearchInstitute.org is the nonprofit that we have that kind of runs everything. Or Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio. And make sure and subscribe also, speaking of subscribing, to Brighteon.com/channel/LostArtsRadio. And I got to go get ready for the club meeting now. You're welcome to join us if you want to, planetaryhealingclub.com. Or if you're not sure, ask us questions about whether it's worth it for your time. And I'll answer those as fast as we can. Okay, so thanks for being here. I really value your time. And this program is just strictly for you. That's why we're here. And Doug Diamond, DiamondDiscAudio.com, is holding it all together. It's the only way it could happen. And we appreciate you tremendously. I want everything good for you guys. And take good care of yourselves. Learn how to do that better. Question everything. And there's good things hidden everywhere if you can see them. And then you can use them. So have a good week. We'll see you here next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/LostArtsRadio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, LostArtsRadio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/LostArtsRadio. Or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.